meeting with our DCAs.
Oh,
good group. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
All right, we're good to go. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the May 30th, 2024 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Rebecca, please call the roll.
Ryan.
Here.
Gonzalez.
Here.
Maps.
Here.
Rubio.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. And now we're going to hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum.
City Council. To testify before council in person or virtually, you must sign up in advance on the council agenda at portland.gov/council/agenda. Information on engaging with council can be found on the council clerk's webpage. Individuals may testify for 3 minutes unless the presiding officer states otherwise. Your microphone will be muted when your time is over. The presiding officer preserves order. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If you cause a disruption, a warning will be given. Further disruption will result in ejection from the meeting. Anyone who fails to leave once ejected is subject to arrest for trespass. Additionally, council may take a short recess and reconvene virtually. Your testimony should address the matter being considered. When testifying, state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. If you are a lobbyist, identify the organization you represent. Virtual testifiers should unmute themselves when the council clerk calls your name. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Our first and our only item this afternoon is item number 458, first reading of a non-emergency ordinance.
Improve land use regulations through the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package 10.
Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to introduce this ordinance for RICAP 10. This item is the most recent version of our long-established program to conduct an annual zoning code cleanup. Due to budgetary constraints and other priorities, it was suspended for a few years, but we're happy to have the team back this year to present our 10th recap package. I'd like to thank the Permit Improvement Task Force, Commissioner Ryan, and my colleagues on the council for prioritizing that this program be funded once again. As we all know, it's an incredibly important one that our local development regulations are clear, simple, and easy to implement. This helps ensure that Portland is not only built according to our policies, but also that we are a good partner to the development community. This is particularly an important day because when we face a housing crisis and are doing everything we can to increase housing production, these changes matter. And as many Portlander businesses and residents are still recovering from the economic pandemic impacts of the pandemic, so it also matters to them too. This package proposes several minor policy and technical amendments to the zoning code, many of which were identified as issues as parts of the permit review process. These amendments will make it easier for everyone to understand and implement the code, builders, developers, and the community and staff. Staff will describe the package in a few moments, but before then, I'll just share that I'm particularly excited about one set of amendments that will allow more flexibility for home-based businesses. This is a big win for our community. I'm also grateful for some of the changes needed to bring our zoning code into alignment with recent changes in state rules. And then there are a lot of changes that are frankly just practical, like adjusting the ways that certain things are measured, and it's just simply good governance. So now I'd like to turn it over to BDS's interim director, Eric Engstrom, to introduce the team and share more about the package.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Council. For the record, my name is Eric Engstrom, interim director at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Some of the planning work we bring you involves big picture visions, bigger policy shifts. This is not that. In contrast, today we're bringing you a collection of fairly minor changes, technical changes to the zoning code, but this is just as important as the big policy shifts that we sometimes ask you to consider. Our big goals only work if we maintain the tools we have, including working closely with implementation staff, customers, and the public to ensure development codes are clear and kept current. And echoing Commissioner Rubio, I want to appreciate your continued support for this recurring program in the budget process. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Sandra Wood, JP McNeil, and Kevin Bond, who will walk you through the details.
Great. Thank you for having us. Sandra Wood, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Principal Planner. I'm here with our project team, and also we have our code editor and a couple of our colleagues from BDS who have helped us along the way for this project. We're here to hold a hearing for this project and present really the Planning Commission's recommendation to you all on RECAP 10. This is our 10th such project since 2002, and as been mentioned, it's in essence a zoning code maintenance project. Next slide, please. I'll provide a little background on what RECAP is, and then JP and Kevin will share what's in RECAP 10, and then you'll hear public testimony, which I believe we only have one person signed up for testimony today. And finally, we hope that you'll be able to pass it to second reading. So what is RECAP?
I'm all set, thank you.
RECAP is a little different than other legislative code projects in that it's an ongoing project. Many of our projects start and stop, and RECAP does that too, but we always have a RECAP on the books. So we're starting to scope RECAP 11, for example. And the purpose of the project is to ease regulatory burdens and make the code easier to understand and implement. It's an ongoing program. The amendments vary by topic and geographies. But the focus is really on technical and minor policy amendments. When we started the program about 20 years ago, we established an online database where members of the public and our colleagues at BDS and other bureaus can enter requests for changes. We currently have about 450 requests in the database. And because of that, there's a lot of demand. So we have a fair and transparent item selection criteria that City Council actually passed in 2002, I believe, when we began the program. We thought it would be worthwhile to describe the differences between the type of amendments to the regulations. The first row shows technical amendments. Those are basically incorrect and outdated references in the code, grammatical errors and inconsistencies, clarifications to wording that could be interpreted multiple ways, and that causes back and forth between an applicant and BDS. And we like to clean up any code conflicts when we see conflicts within the zoning code or with another city title or possibly with state regulations that that get passed. So an example of that for RECAP 10 is item number 49. Where we are updating references to childcare facilities and clarifying that even though childcare facilities can be in someone's home, that that is not considered a home-based business in the zoning code. So they don't have two sets of regulations that they need to meet, the zoning code ones and the state ones. Minor policy amendments, the next row makes a slight changes to adopted city policies, but it's beyond a technical amendment. An example for RECAP 10 is item number 48, where the proposed amendment would allow home-based businesses to have both employees and customers on a site. Currently, that's not allowed. Right now, home-based businesses need to choose between one another. So those are the two types of amendments in RECAP, and that is in contrast with the bottom two rows of the medium and major policy amendments, where they're making major policy shifts like Director Engstrom was just mentioning. Thanks. As I mentioned, there's 450 items in the database, and it's a lot of work to read through 450 items and decide which ones to work on, you might imagine. So to be fair and objective and as transparent as possible and not to be caught up in the issue du jour that we're all talking about, we use a selection criteria to rank our requests. And the selection criteria are the variety of stakeholders, who's affected, what groups and what industries, the geographic applicability. Does this just apply in one zone or is this a citywide issue? What's the degree of impact? How problematic is the issue? And what's the potential for regulatory improvement? Is there potential for improving the regulation without adding a lot of complexity to it? So these are the types of things that we rank the items by, and then we start selecting bundles, which JP and Kevin will share with you. After we select our work plan, we follow a standard process for legislative planning projects that's shown on this slide. It basically includes three drafts of the amendments. The first draft, called the discussion draft, is for the public to give feedback to staff. The second proposed draft is our official draft for the Planning Commission hearings, and they hold hearings and modify it. And then the recommended draft is the draft that the Planning Commission forwards to the City Council, and that's what's before you today. It is a result of research, outreach, and feedback received from the previous two phases. And to summarize, our public involvement for RECAP 10 has been followed that process. We first published the work plan in July of 2023. The discussion draft was open for 2 months at the end of 2023 and presented to anyone who asked. We published the proposed draft and sent notice to over 300 people to the Planning Commission hearing in late January. And presented to several commissions within the city. And then the Planning Commission made the recommendation in March. And that's what we're here to present today. With that, I'll pass it to JP and Kevin to go through the content. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Sandra. Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor. For the record, I'm JP McNeil. I'm a city planner with BPS. And now that Sandra's given us some background on RECAP in general, Kevin and I are going to cover a little bit more what you'll find in the package. So when we began scoping RECAP 10, there was a backlog of necessary amendments. As Sandra said, there was a total of 455 items. We pared that back to 83 that we included in this project. And we selected items grouped into themes that are relevant to the moment, namely housing production, economic development, and regulatory reduction. And it's important to note that Director Engstrom and Sandra said, the amendments are small policy changes and technical fixes, so they're not intended to really turn the dial on anything like the housing production theme, but cumulatively they can ease the regulatory burdens and make it the code easier to understand and implement. So this slide just shows us a breakdown of the number of amendments that are minor policy changes versus technical amendments. And as with the 83 amendments, we're certainly not going to go through all 83 of them, but we'll cover the themes and the bundles that they're broken down into and then give some examples of the individual amendments to give you a taste of what's in the package. So our first theme, the housing production theme, has three bundles within it. The first is for ground floor related items. The second has to do with the design overlay zone, and the third are amendments to the historic resources code. So our first bundle containing the ground floor related items, these are mostly technical fixes to the ground floor and street facing window standards and how those are applied, mostly for multi-dwelling and mixed use development. A good example of this is item number 5, which clarifies that glass in a stairwell is a qualifying window feature when to meet the ground floor window standards. The design overlay zone bundle, these are generally technical fixes with a few minor policy amendments to the design chapter exemptions and the applicability of the design standards. So what we're talking about are things like item number 13, which is adding an exemption from the design review chapter for fences and retaining walls. The third bundle is the historic resources bundle. Mostly these are also minor changes to exemptions from the historic resources chapter. The changes can impact both residential development and commercial mixed use development. An example with this one is item number 26, which is an exemption for alterations to meet ADA requirements in historic districts that the current said code refers to existing materials. In other sections of the chapter, the prioritization is on historic materials. What that means is that under the current code, removal of an existing element of a building that was added in, say, the 90s that has no historic value could trigger historic resource review. So item 26 would exempt that and only apply to historic materials that are mentioned in the National Register nomination. With that, I'm going to pass it on to Kevin Bond.
Thank you, JP. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is Kevin Bond, and I'm a city planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. The second theme of RECAP 10 is economic development, and it has three bundles of amendments. First, the amendments in the Central City bundle clarify and ease regulations in the Central City Plan District. Second, the home occupation bundle provides more flexibility for home-based businesses. And third, the temporary construction activities bundle provides flexibility for builders during construction-related work. One example amendment from the Central City bundle is item number 33, a new exemption for basic utilities uses from the Central City minimum floor area, or FAR, standard. The minimum FAR standard helps ensure that sites in the Central City are not underutilized. This amendment adds basic utility uses to the list of exemptions. Basic utility uses are, for example, are mass transit stops and turnarounds, such as the one shown in this slide, and stormwater facilities. These are uses that are necessary in the Central City, but that don't typically have much development or floor area associated with them. Moving on to the home occupations bundle, this one again provides more flexibility for home-based businesses. These amendments expand opportunities for small home-based businesses by permanently implementing changes that were approved as temporary relief during the pandemic. For example, item number 48 increases the number of customers allowed per day up to 15 and one employee for a site that has an accessory home occupation. And the temporary construction activities bundle that eases rules for large construction projects, such as item 52 and 53, that say where temporary construction staging areas can be located. Item number 54, how long staging areas can remain, and item number 55, when temporary parking for construction sites can start. Moving on to the regulatory reduction, which is the third and final theme of Recap 10, it has three bundles as well. The first bundle, state compliance, aligns the zoning code with new laws to eliminate confusion. The second bundle, land use review processes, gives flexibility to property owners and developers responding to changing market conditions. And third, the miscellaneous regulatory bundle cleans up, provides consistency, and eliminates outdated codes. So starting with the state compliance bundle, these items help bring the zoning code into conformance with new state rules related to things such as converting hotels to shelters or affordable housing, which is item number 57, childcare facilities, item 58, manufactured homes, item 59, and land use review timelines for affordable housing projects, which is item 60. The second bundle includes land use review items. This bundle only has two items, item number 61, to create a new land use review process to request a two-year extension for land use reviews that are about to expire. And item 62 makes some clarifications on posting notices for land use reviews on large sites such as Washington Park and Mount Tabor Park. And with that, I'll hand it back over to JP.
Thank you, Kevin. So I'm just going to take it home with the final regulatory cleanup miscellaneous category. In this category, it's sort of a catch-all. So it includes removing special street setbacks, dissolving the adjustment committee and turning its responsibilities over to the hearings officer, scaling back regulations in the Powell Boulevard plan district to allow residential uses. It also includes minor changes to the river environmental and the river industrial overlay zones. And then there's also a final item number 70. It's an amendment to remove the convenience store chapter. And this one is a good example of a change that brings the code into better alignment with the city's equity goals. The amendment eliminates the chapter of the code that regulates convenience stores specifically, which are often owned by immigrant and BIPOC families. And this is this change will stop regulating convenience stores differently than other retail uses. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to Sandra.
Thank you. So the Planning Commission's recommendation to City Council is that you adopt the Recap 10 recommended draft, that the council amends Title 33, which is called Planning and Zoning. That's our zoning code, as shown in the recommended draft, that one of the policies in the comprehensive plan is amended to dissolve the Adjustment Committee, which is one of our proposals, amend the zoning map to remove the special street setbacks along six different streets and repealing six ordinances related to the special street setbacks, which are listed on the slide. And that's related to a special street setback that is no longer needed. And with that, we'll pass it back to you, Mayor Wheeler.
All right, very good. Colleagues, any questions at this point?
I think we have public testimony. I do have one question, but I'd be happy
to listen. Go ahead and ask.
How does one go about, how do members of the public go about submitting proposals for RICAP or to be as part of our database?
Yeah.
What's the process for generating these?
There's a link on our website and we'd be happy to provide that to folks. And they just go in, put their name and address, the example, and they just say, here's the issue I encountered and here's potentially a requested action. And sometimes people upload pictures or documents. And so they're welcome to do that too.
Great. Love the process. I think this is an important step towards building a more rational public administration.
And I would say, I don't know, I'm going to venture to say that 90% of the entries are from BDS staff as they're working with applicants, because most members of the public are just trying to get their permit. They're not trying to help us improve our regulations. So BDS staff enters a lot of them. And so that's great, a great service too, that they're providing the public.
Do members of the, I asked our teams over at the infrastructure bureaus if they had any concerns about the proposals on the table. For the most part, no. And I should know this, but I don't. Do we have a similar, and some of the, well, let's put it this way. Some of the proposals that you put forward do impact infrastructure spaces. Is there a similar process? I should probably ask my own teams this question for cleaning up public infrastructure code or whatnot.
The database was set up for all of the codes. Okay. And as you know, as part of the permit improvement task force and all the changes that were undergoing in the city, the regulatory reform group that Terry Tyson and Mika are leading, I sit on that with the other infrastructure bureaus, and we're working on getting that established for the new form of government.
So it covers the whole process. Great. Really exactly. Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a question about the set of codes related to home-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Could you clarify what kinds of businesses? I assume you don't mean retail.
Correct.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Generally, it's office uses. So it's retail sales and service uses are not allowed. Sales are only allowed if they're accessory to, like, you can have a salon, but sales are not allowed. So actually, it's not restrictive of retail sales and service uses, but it is restrictive of sales on the site unless it's accessory to something like you're selling shampoo because you have a salon. You right. Cut hair out of your house.
So what kind of businesses?
Piano teachers, hairdressers, chiropractors, naturopaths, office for sure.
Okay. Yeah, you could have a doctors, like a doctor could have a home office where they see patients.
Okay, I see. Thank you. That's helpful. Oh. And we have how many folks signed up, Rebecca?
We have one person signed up.
All right, let's go ahead and hear from
Marcus Kuizenga.
Hello, my name is Marcus Kuizenga. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, yeah, loud and clear.
Thank you. Mayor Wheeler and council members, I represent James Hardy Building Products out of Chicago, Illinois. And if you give me a moment, I'll share my screen to provide some input on the RICAP amendments that are up for your consideration today. So. Okay, can you see the screen?
Yeah, Dan.
Okay, I'll cut right to the chase. So James Hardy Building Products, as you may know, manufactures fiber cement cladding. So we are on, over the last 25 years or so since we've been in operation in the US, we're on about 10 million homes worth of cladding. We've put that much out in the market over the last 25 years, quite a bit of it in the Pacific Northwest and in Portland specifically. And what I'd like to address today are some of is related to in RICAP, basically table 420-3, which represents guidelines and standards for the application of fiber cement cladding to buildings that are governed by these standards. Specifically, the table 423 has some limitations related to the thickness of the fiber cement that may be used. And these thickness limitations were proposed to address basically material availability in the market, as well as design flexibility for architects and builders. Our concern is that as applied or as put in the table, the thickness limitations are still fairly restrictive and could have a significant impact on project affordability, as well as from a practical standpoint, just availability of materials. Specifically, the fiber cement plank standard, which is specified to be at least 5/8 of an inch thick for reveals for plank siding of 6 inches or less. The market standard is actually 7 inches in terms of width, and 5/16 inch fiber cement is the most common material that is used. And so forcing or requiring thicker fiber cement to be used can have a fairly material impact on a project cost without necessarily improving durability or performance of the cladding material. A similar limitation is in the proposal or the proposed standards for fiber cement shakes. So, so what we are recommending is that the limitations be adjusted to account for market availability and cost, and basically to modify the table to allow the use of 1/4 inch fiber cement shingles and 5/16 inch fiber cement lap siding. And I think I got it in under the wire.
Pretty good.
Any questions?
Commissioner Mapps?
I think my question is for staff. Mark has brought up a highly technical concern. I don't feel equipped. Sounds reasonable. I don't know how to evaluate this particular concern. Is there a process for evaluating the red flags that we just heard here?
Well, the original process was the design, the DOZA project, the Design Overlay Zone Amendments right. project. That's where these were worked out.
Okay.
And so with this proposal, what our proposal in Recap 10 is actually taking the DOZA standard, which was 5/8 inch thick materials, and lowering that to 5/16 inches in response to market supply chain issues that came out of the pandemic. Yeah. So we're reducing it to 5/16 inches. And again, this is only, we're only talking about the only time this standard applies is in the design overlay district or overlay zone for units or for projects with 5 or more units in it. So that's really the only time this is going to come up, unless there's also the design review option. But so we're going down to 5/16 inches for the supply issues. And so it seems like in this case, the testifier is supportive of that generally for siding. It's for the shingles. And in the testimony that was provided in the testimony reader from this testifier, it was that was mostly about supply issues. And so the James Hardy doesn't supply 5/16 inch shingles. There is a supplier available for 5/16 inch shingles. And so our position is that we're already allowing a thinner fiber cement material to accommodate the supply chain issues, but there's no need to take that any further since the 5/16 is available. And the issue that BDS has had with it, with the design team, is that the thinner materials, they're less durable and more susceptible to warping. So we've already taken it down as far as we'd like to go.
Okay, thank you for that dialogue.
All right, very good. That completes public testimony. Is that correct, Rebecca?
Correct.
Great. Now that we've heard from those who have signed up to testify, oral testimony is now closed. At this time, written testimony is also closed. Colleagues, is there any further discussion on this item or amendments that you'd like to propose at this time? Seeing none, I just have a brief comment. I want to thank Commissioner Rubio and her staff, as well as the commission members who all leaned into this large body of work that I believe on the whole can only improve the process and make a positive difference for our community. These technical code changes will promote housing production and economic development while also streamlining the regulatory process and permitting to make city government better, more customer constituent friendly, and frankly, just a better partner to the community that we serve. And I appreciate the fact that you have this process that is open to the public and allows people to make suggestions. I look forward to continuing to clarify and streamline our zoning code with additional technical adjustments and policy reforms as we move forward, particularly into our new form of government. This means we need to continue to be creating iterative processes where we're listening to and responding to constituent concerns. With that, this item is now passed to second reading.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I noticed that Commissioner Ryan raised his hand.
Commissioner Ryan.
Thank you, Mayor. I didn't want to interrupt. And thank you, Commissioner Mouse.
It's good you did, because I almost moved it to second.
No, I just wanted to make a point, and Commissioner Mouse remembers this. In our first three task force meetings, when we convened the Permit Improvement Task Force in 2021, we called it code clutter. It just came up frequently, definitely by industry that was on the task force and also by staff. And I just really want to say that that's the value of convening that task force, as we got to the bottom of these issues. And it was really awesome when the new director came in at the time, Donnie Oliveira, a BPS. And I remember working with Director Esau at the time, and you just saw a real sea change. And then Terry Tyson and her team really went to work on this with the good people who presented today. So I just want to lift that, you know, these things don't happen overnight, but it was something that was called out early in the task force, and to see this evolution and this change and this policy coming forward is very heartwarming. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Ryan. With that, this item is passed to second reading on June 13th at 2:45 p.m. time certain. As a reminder, the oral and written record are both closed. Thank you. That concludes today's hearing, and we are adjourned.